Well, good morning again. We are continuing a sermon series called Words Following the Cross. Words that Jesus said to his disciples, including words like, "Fear not. Why do you doubt? Feed my sheep." Today we look at go. Recruiting people into the military is nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. In this country alone, we have a long history of recruiting. I think this was the recruiting poster that got Glenn into the Army. Okay, it's from the Revolutionary War. Maybe not that old. One of the most iconic recruiting poster campaigns has its origins from the War of 1812, and you know him as Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam became the nickname of the federal government as a result of a meat packer named Sam Wilson, who stamped his barrels with U.S. So that's where Uncle Sam came from, becoming the term for the federal government, Uncle Sam. And this icon evolved over the years. It was about the 1840s when we started to see Uncle Sam resemble the figure we see today with the white beard and the stars and stripes outfit. But because of printing costs, most posters look like this single color Civil War poster. And by World War II, color was everywhere, and some of the most iconic images came from that day. And here's one for the Army Air Corps. This was prior to the Air Force, of course. Next, we have one for the Navy, where we see the famous Cracker Jack uniform. Next, we have a call to women in World War II to become nurses. Another poster was a call to women to go to work in the factories. And probably one of the hardest eras to recruit in was the Vietnam era. Here's a poster for the Army, and then one for the Marines, another for the Navy. And then from the 1980s, I don't know if you remember that jingle that sticks in your head, "Be all that you can be in the Army." I'm not going to sing it because, one, it won't be good, and I don't want to stick that in your head for the rest of the day. But I also like that commercial. Remember they said, "We do more by 9 a.m. than most people do all day." I just couldn't find a poster that said that. But in the last few decades, they have tried a whole bunch of new slogans, calling it the Army of One or Army Strong. The Air Force has tried to go after the high-tech people with its new slogan, "It's not science fiction." The Navy has gone after a global strength posture to give people a sense of strength and the world. But probably one of the most successful recruiting campaigns has been by the Marines, because they're always looking for what? A few good men. The few, the proud, the Marines. There's a lot of history in calling people to action, but God was actually the first person to call us into action. You heard earlier in Genesis, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You see, we as God's creation are called to action. We are called to be fruitful, to be productive, not idle. We're supposed to go do. He says, increase in number, have kids and teach them to be productive. Fill the earth, just don't sit in one place. Spread out, go, subdue it, cultivate it, explore it, build on it, use it, rule over it. And he says, you're in charge of it, but take care of what I have given you. Use it, but don't abuse it. And as God's created people, we're not supposed to remain idle. We are supposed to go and do. And as seen in the Bible, God has called many people to very specific action. He called Noah to build a boat. He called Abraham to be the father to a nation. He called Moses to lead the Exodus. He called David to slay a giant and lead his people to be a mighty nation. He called Daniel, Samuel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Because you see, God is in the recruiting business. These were all ordinary but faithful people. And even when we look at the Christmas story, he recruited a carpenter, several shepherds, a young nobody virgin. He used a wild man named John to proclaim repentance to people and pave the way for Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized and started his ministry, Jesus did some of his own recruiting, didn't he? In Matthew, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, John, son of Zebedee, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The scripture says these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And Jesus not only recruited them, but he taught them, he trained them, and gave them instructions. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you grow, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Said, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. See, spreading the gospel wasn't about making money. It was about sacrificing and supporting each other for the cause. And Jesus had some very harsh word for those who do not welcome the gospel. He said, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave the home or town and shake the dust off of your feet. You see that phrase there, shake the dust off your feet? That doesn't mean anything to us, but that's almost the equivalent of give somebody the middle finger in their day. I mean, this is a pretty... Hey, you don't want to hear the words of Christ? Then we're leaving you. It says, truly I tell you, it'd be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, our message may not be popular in this world. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. The church has been on trial many times, and today is no different. The court of public opinion can be very harsh. Many are being roasted in media for sticking to their beliefs. But if we have faith in Jesus and live in the Spirit, then we will be given words to say when we go to tell people about the message of Christ. Jesus said, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. See, we don't have to make excuses that we can't witness to people because we don't know what to say or what to do. Because if we pray and live in the Spirit of God, God will give us the words to say. And if you don't think that you'll get words spiritually in a time when you need them, ask Carla. Carla went on a mission trip to Ghana, Africa. This mission group had two primary missions. It was a medical mission and a mission to build wells. And Carla said, I know nothing about any of the other stuff. I'll just be an administrator. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll fill out paperwork. I'll do anything. And then one church service, they said, you're going to lead a prayer group over here. And Carla says, I don't pray in public. That's Carla's fear. But an amazing experience happened. God called her to pray things and words that came from places she can't explain other than it was pure Holy Spirit. And if you are just faithful to do what God calls you to do, God will give you the words to say in the times that you need to say it. Now, I probably butchered the story, so get the exact details from Carla. But the truth is still there. She's nodding her head yes, so I didn't do too bad. And we have to understand that not all will receive the gospel message we bring. You see, this is not an easy mission that we are called to. The key word, we are called to. And the rejection of the gospel can even split up families. Jesus said that brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. You see, we have people in our own denomination that are fearful of being hated by the world, so much so that they are willing to sacrifice thousands of years of biblical teaching and hundreds of years of church doctrine to satisfy what the sin the world has made publicly acceptable. I have even seen pastors say mean and hateful things to one another over differences in theology. But we have to be prepared for that kind of battle, because those battles are going to happen. Jesus said, "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants to be like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household?" Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in the army, there certainly were not equals. We had our ranks and you followed your ranks. But in God's army, the student and the teacher, the master and the servant are equals. Our master is Christ. He was humble. He served all. He loved all, but always placed God first. And we should strive to be his equal. And Jesus says, "So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus says, be brave. Have courage as you carry the gospel. For the real fear is not the people who can hurt you on this earth, but the real fear is Satan and hell. Because Satan can take your soul for eternity. And Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Jesus has some pretty strong words here, doesn't he? After he gives this encouragement of telling us to not be afraid, telling us we are his people, his recruits, he tells us that we better stand up and act like his recruits. Because if we cannot publicly proclaim Jesus, then Jesus will not present us to the Father. Do you get that? In other words, he's saying, if you are saved, if you are one of my followers, one of my disciples, one of my recruits, if you are the church, then it is our obligation to proclaim the gospel. And if we are not willing to proclaim the gospel, then we have to really consider if our faith is real. I mean, why would you have the greatest gift of eternal life and not share it? Why would you enjoy what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life and the grace and the mercy and the love that he has given you? Why would you not share that with anybody? Because if our faith is real, we need to be out proclaiming that our faith is real. And I'm not saying you have to put a giant billboard on the back of your car and drive around with a megaphone shouting. Because when we go around shouting, I don't think people are going to hear the message. Just like the teenager at home, right? The louder I yell, the more your ears go deaf, don't they, Ethan? Isn't that what happens? It's true, isn't it? Someone comes yelling at you. Are you going to listen to them? You're going to get angry. But still, we need to go proclaim his message. We need not be ashamed of who we are and what we believe. In fact, we are called to be recruiters. We are called to action. The final words of Jesus on this earth, following his resurrection and just prior to his ascension, are these words. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus said, go, recruit, baptize, and teach. Make disciples. Do you guys understand what the word disciple means? It's not just talking about the 12 people that Jesus called. A disciple is a devout follower of another person. Rabbis had disciples. In Jesus' time, if you were a great teacher, you were known by how many disciples you had. And if you were a disciple of a certain person, you dressed like them, you ate like them, you walked like them, you talked like them. If they had an accent, you had an accent. If they wore long clothes with big tassels, you wore long clothes with big tassels. If they ate a certain diet, you ate a certain diet. A disciple was known to mimic, to be such a clone, to be the image of that rabbi that it was hard to distinguish if that person was that rabbi or not. You'd go by and say, hey, wasn't that? Oh, no, that was just one of their followers. And you see, when we're called to be disciples, we're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to look and act like Jesus Christ. We are supposed to treat people the way Jesus Christ treated people. We are supposed to be humble. We are supposed to be serving. We are supposed to be loving. We are supposed to be grace-filled. Yet we are still holding people accountable to show them the way to redemption, to show them the way to the Father, to love God above all else, to live by the Scriptures. What did Jesus do? He prayed and went to the Scriptures in just about everything he did, didn't he? Jesus was tempted in the desert. What did he fight with? Scripture and prayer. We are supposed to be so much like Jesus that people just see it on us. Everywhere we go in life, people should say, oh, that's one of those people. They should know us by the way we act, by the way we talk, by the shows we watch, by the way we spend our money. That hits home, doesn't it? Danny's falling guilty right now. But do you understand? We all have a mission. It's not just my job. It's our job to go and make disciples. And if you're not being a disciple yourself, how are you going to make somebody else a disciple? If you know nothing about the game of baseball, you're not going to get somebody interested in the game of baseball, are you? If you don't know enough about it, you can't recruit somebody for it. You have to know God. You have to have a relationship with God. And every day you need to be the best disciple you can. But don't worry about being a perfect Bible expert. Don't be worried about being perfect on everything, because Jesus told us, I'll give you the words to say. And the best testimony you can give is your testimony. People aren't interested in all the scriptures when they don't know Jesus. What they're interested in is, what is Jesus going to do for me? That's what they want to know. And you can tell people, this is what Jesus does for me. And this is what Jesus has done in the life of my friends. And this is what Jesus has done in the life of the church. Because we need to be in the business of changing lives. And so ask yourself, are you a soldier of Christ? Are you one of his recruits? And are you ready to do your part to recruit for Jesus? Because Jesus is looking for a few good men, women, children. Because if you don't do it, then who will? You might be the only chance someone has to meet Jesus. So we should take every opportunity we can each and every day to show people through our lives what a wonderful and incredible Savior we have. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are not supposed to be idle people. And Lord, no matter where we come from or what our background is, no matter what our age or education is, you've called us all to go and make disciples. Lord, all of us see and come into contact with people each and every day. Lord, let our lives be a living example of the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let people just see us and just know that there's just something different about us. Let our lives be examples of something that they want to have. A lives that have peace and comfort through all trials. Lives that lean on the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us be your disciples. Let us seek to be like you in each and every way and every day that we can. Let us try to live as your Son lived, perfect and holy. Lord, allow us just to understand and see people and love them with the compassion that Jesus had for the lost. Let us know that this gift of eternal life is not something to keep, it is something to share. Let us understand this great responsibility we have. And may many come to know Jesus Christ and become disciples themselves and allow it to be something that just continues to grow and grow until we've reached our community, our county, our state, and this world. This we ask and pray through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your great Holy Spirit. Amen.